The readings for the day are from the book of Leviticus and from the Gospel of Matthew. Now let's take the reading from Leviticus first. Chapter 23. The Lord spoke to Moses. He said, "These are the Lord's solemn festivals, the sacred assemblies to which you are to summon the sons of Israel on the appointed day. The 14th day of the first month, between the two evenings, is the Passover of the Lord. And the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat bread without leaven. On the first day you are to hold a sacred assembly. You must do no heavy work. For 7 days you shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord. The 7th day is to be a day of sacred assembly. You must do no work." The Lord spoke to Moses. He said, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, 'When you enter the land that I give you and gather in the harvest there, you must bring the first sheaf of your harvest to the priest, and he is to present it to the Lord with the gesture of offering, so that you may be acceptable. The priest shall make this offering on the day after the Sabbath. From the day after the Sabbath, the day on which you bring the sheaf of offering, you are to count 7 full weeks. You are to count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and then you are to offer the Lord a new oblation. But the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the day of atonement. You are to hold a sacred assembly. You must fast, and you must offer a burnt offering to the Lord. The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for the Lord, lasting 7 days. The first day is a day of sacred assembly. You must do no heavy work. For 7 days you must offer a burnt offering to the Lord. On the 8th day you are to hold a sacred assembly. You must offer a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a day of solemn meeting. You must do no heavy work. These are the solemn festivals of the Lord to which you are to summon the children of Israel, sacred assemblies for the purpose of offering burnt offerings, holocausts, oblations, sacrifices and libations to the Lord according to the ritual of each day." The Gospel reading is from chapter 13 of Matthew. Coming to his hometown, Jesus taught the people in their synagogue in such a way that they were astonished, and said, "Where did the man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? This is the carpenter's son, surely. Is not his mother the woman called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Jude? His sisters too. Are they not all here with us? So where did the man get it all?" And they would not accept him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is only despised in his own country and in his own house." And he did not work many miracles there because of their lack of faith. For our reflection today, we like to think, don't we, that we modern, and in particular Western human beings, are the marvelously adaptive ones, creative and open-minded, compared to those other people, particularly people in ancient times. But are we that adaptive? Human beings are pretty limited creatures, and I think, personally, that we haven't changed much when it comes to the basics. We still instinctively move to fit the unfamiliar into what is familiar, to relate the new to the old, to stay put. Nothing wrong with this, of course, in a sense. We can only confront the new and the unexpected with what we already have. But it's the next step that is particularly important, and that is whether to reject the unfamiliar and to stay with the familiar because it's comfortable, when we decide to keep to the old ways rather than strike out in a new and somewhat unknown direction. Our gospel today provides a telling example of this common human condition and reaction. Jesus, teaching in his home synagogue, disturbs the familiar world of his own people. They cannot relate his teaching to the familiar categories of their religious world as they perceive it. This leads them to succumb to the temptation that so often arises in such a situation, and that is to reject what they cannot fit or control. In Matthew's highly ironic account of this episode, their rejection of Jesus leads them to reject not just him, but his whole family, mother, brothers, and sisters. It seems to me there's an uncanny resemblance here to the way bad publicity about one ethnic person or one group can damn everyone who may be different. People who may be of, say, Middle Eastern appearance, or of Asian appearance, or of whatever appearance, can, in our modern fevered eyes, appear as threats to our familiar world, threats that must be eliminated. Interestingly, our gospel story doesn't stop here. This is bad enough. But it goes on to tell how the rejection of Jesus and his family leads the people to even claim that his wisdom and healing power cannot come from God. The implication is that they come from the devil. But as the New Testament portrays demonic figures, they're not accustomed to going around preaching God's wisdom and healing people of their miseries. Far from it. The tragic feature of the people here is that their perception of Jesus has become completely distorted, and they end up in repudiating Jesus, repudiating God as well. Jesus' comment on this situation is ominous for us as readers. It implies that those who think they possess the truth or know the mind of God may indeed be the blind ones. The one with true insight may be the outsider. The one whom those think they are on the inside is only to be dismissed. This attitude is particularly dangerous for those like the people of Jesus' day, or, for example, modern-day Catholics, because both groups belong to a rich religious tradition. The reading from Leviticus gives us, at least in relation to the liturgy, an idea of just how rich the Old Testament tradition was, and how it filled the annual cycle of life with meaning. Catholics also have a rich religious and sacramental tradition, but it can make us presumptuous and patronizing towards others who we see don't have the same tradition. In preparing this reflection, I was reminded of a priest colleague of mine who told me of his experience as a young chaplain in a hospital. He was busy, he was running around, he was dispensing sacraments, and he felt that he was doing a great deal. And he found his work very rewarding. But one day, as he was rushing past a ward, he noticed a friend of his, a Protestant pastor, sitting next to an old person who was dying. All he was doing was sitting there, bending over him in prayer, as the old man lay dying. And he told me that suddenly, as like a flash of light, he realized that there was a presence of Christ, surely as real as anything that he was bringing to the people with his sacraments and so forth. And it made him think also that we Catholics can become presumptuous, and we can almost treat our rich sacramental heritage almost like a dispensary. After that, he spent more time simply being with the people, praying with them, letting God do God's work.